All right, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for the message today. I had a bunch of folks in the early service this morning say that they thought I was going to have a heart attack this morning. I want you to know I'm not going to have a heart attack, but I am going to preach like I'm having a heart attack. All right? If you are one of these politically correct people, you might want to go to the bathroom and then slip on out to your car, because I'm going to offend you greatly this morning. And I just want to warn you that this is not going to be a politically correct message this morning. I wonder if you feel like I do, that you cannot understand what is going on in our country. You just cannot figure out why things are going the way they're going. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why are we turning our head so as not to look at what is obvious? Why are we aiding and abetting the enemy? Why are we giving billions of dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood? And why are we running weapons into Syria? Why did our ambassador and three other brave Americans lose their lives? And why have we been lied to about that and the truth not come out? There are just so many things. Our president goes to the Planned Parenthood meeting and this week, I mean, millions of babies have been slaughtered. There is a trial right now. The verdict is supposed to be out this week for a doctor that is being charged with killing babies that were aborted, but they lived through the abortion, and kicking and flailing on the table. This doctor has been accused of just killing them. Real live human beings outside the womb, and of course they're real live human beings inside the womb, and it's just as brutal to kill them inside as to kill them outside. It's just as murder, no matter how you slice it. But what in the world is going on in our land? Everything's backwards. Have you noticed that, or is it just me? All right? There has got to be an answer as to what's going on. I don't understand why we are doing what we're doing. I just don't get that. We were told that our taxes were not going to go up one dime. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to take a loan to pay my taxes. It's unreal what's going on. And so I want to try and find an answer for you this morning. And I think the answer is, I think this is it. So I hope that you see what I see and what I'm going to show you from God's Word today. All right, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now right there's your key. The day of the Lord is coming, and as a thief in the night, when in the midst of all of this comfort and in the midst of all of this watching one hand while the other is doing something else, in the midst of all this, the Lord's going to come back, and I believe that his return is soon. All right, now look at verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now watch carefully. But ye, brethren, saved people, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We, the saved people, the brethren, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You know, it's almost like America is asleep. And, you know, the world just continues to spin out of control, and yet America is just sleeping through it. It's amazing. He said, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And I love this verse, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle, Children of the Day. Children of the Day. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God, and I pray that you will bless us this morning. Father, we live every day and have lived every day for the last umpteen years trying to figure out why is our society, why is our world behaving like it's behaving? Why are we seeing what we're seeing? What in the world has happened to our country? We are so far away from our foundation. We have become a nation of socialism, and we have left our democracy. We have left our freedom. We are handing it over on a daily basis in the name of security, and it's all a lie. It's all deception, and yet it seems that we're powerless to do anything about it, and we're all scratching our collective heads trying to figure out what's going on. Father, help us to see this morning that you have a plan. Help us to see that this is a struggle that is bigger than Washington, D.C., and it's bigger than the Democrat Party, and it's bigger than Republicans and liberals and conservatives. This is a battle between you and the devil. And Father, help us to see that the plan that is laid out, prescribed in the book, in our roadmap, the Bible, that plan is being executed even as we sit here. And Lord, help us to be children of the day, children of the light, people with understanding, people that can discern the times and the seasons. And Lord, just bless our hearts, we pray. I pray that you will fill me with the Spirit of God and help me as I speak this morning. But Lord, also give each one the ability to hear with their hearts and to understand with their hearts what thus saith the Lord. Bless us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. All right, I want you to notice that in these verses that I read for you, especially in verse 4 and 5 and following, we have, again, a contrast made between light and darkness. Now, God is using two realities, daylight and darkness, and he is using them to as an allegory, as a contrast, as a picture, to show us the difference between spiritual things. The light, of course, and this starts all the way back in the very beginning of the Bible. You can see this contrast, and God plays upon this all the way through the Scriptures, light and darkness. And God uses this parallel to as an example of the difference between between sin and the truth of His Word. Sin is always portrayed as darkness, and the truth is always portrayed as the light. And we see this contrast used over and over and over throughout the Bible. Paul says here in this chapter that we, believers, are not living in the darkness. We're not blinded by the dark. We're not unable to see by the spiritual darkness that is in this world. I think that we live in a world of spiritual darkness, and there are multitudes of people who cannot see what's going on because of the darkness. But if you're saved, you are a child of the light. You are a child of the day, and you are able to see what a person, a child of the darkness, cannot see. You say, well, Pastor, if I'm saved, I'm a child of the light, how am I able to see, whereas somebody who's not saved and is a child of the night is unable? Right here is your flashlight, dear friend. Right here is what gives you the ability to see. You have the light of God's Word. You have the light of the world that lives in your heart, but you also have the light of God's Word, which is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Now, we are living in a dark world. But if you're a saved person and you can read and you have the Word of God, we are living with a clear picture of all that is going on around us. But the world around us has no clue as to what's happening. The world around us is in that spiritual darkness. There is a spiritual darkness, folks, that has overtaken this world today. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's frightening. It is frightening. I think that beyond any day in the past, we are living in the most spiritually ignorant society that we have ever had on this planet. I mean, it's sad that what is going on. The prince of darkness, Satan, the prince of darkness, Satan, that old devil, is ruling over the darkness of this world. And as John said in the book of the Revelation, he is busy. He's busy. Why? Because he knows that he has but a short time. Folks, the devil knows that the time is near. He doesn't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back, but he knows he's coming back. And that's why he is so busy with spreading the darkness around this world. And I feel, as your pastor, I feel so much pressure on me as your pastor to keep the darkness from overtaking you. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. That's not what I'm asking here. That's not what I'm after. But I'm trying to get you to see that I work day and night to keep the darkness out of this place. You have no idea the criticism that I get for standing on the Bible. You have no idea the criticism I get over the music standard that we have set here. The standards that I have set in the school and in the youth group. I mean, you have no idea. But folks, listen, we've got to stand. We've just got to stand. We are children of the day. We are children of the light. And it is my job to keep the darkness out of this church. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, to put a period at the end of the sentence, I'm going to do it. Now, the day, if Jesus tarries his coming, the day will come when I won't be here, and the next guy may come along and say, you know, we're just gonna change everything. We're gonna start using one of these perverted Bibles, and we're gonna quit singing hymns and start singing praise choruses. And you know, that day may come, but I'm gonna bind you this. It is not gonna come while I'm here. I'm gonna keep the darkness out. And if it runs everybody in Carroll County to another church, it just runs everybody in Carroll County to another church. But I'm not going to compromise on God. I'm not going to let the darkness overtake and creep into this church. I'm just not going to do it. I fear for what we are becoming as a nation. I fear for what our churches are becoming. When I think of how quickly the darkness is creeping over our land, creeping into our churches, creeping over our families, and how the devil is just throwing a blanket over the eyes of this nation of ours, it literally scares me to death. The progressive liberal agenda that is today being sown into the fabric of our nation is ruining this country. And while multitudes of us see this happening, it is like we are powerless to stop it. Let me give you a couple of examples. 2 weeks ago, two radical Islamic jihadist fundamentalist Muslims came to this country from Chechnya, one of the terrorist nations, one of the rogue terrorist nations, came over here to this country, and they, in the name of jihad, in the name of Allah, jihad means holy war, and that has been declared upon us by Al-Qaeda and by the Taliban. They came over here in the name of jihad and in the name of Allah, and they built bombs out of pressure cookers, and they killed three people, maimed over 180 people, but they killed an 8-year-old boy. Now, would you let that sink into you? They killed an 8-year-old little boy and two other people in Boston. And listen, since that happened, our president and his administration, his White House, along with his willing accomplices in the media, cannot bring themselves to say that radical jihadist Islam is the problem. Now, you explain to me why? What in the world has happened to our country? Did you ever think that you would live in an America where the president of the United States could not say that what happened in Boston was done by radical jihadist Muslim terrorists? What is going on? Let me give you another example. We are now seeing state after state, including our grand old state here in Maryland. We are now seeing state after state give homosexuals the right to marry and giving legitimacy to what God says is an abomination. Now, I know that that just rubs a politically correct society the wrong way. I know that probably grated on some people. Well, let me just say it one more time. God says that homosexuality is an abomination. I don't care what man says about it. I care what God says about it. And God says it's an abomination. And the people living in this world of darkness of ours has all of a sudden now come to the conclusion that we can take an institution, the first one, by the way, that God gave this world, marriage, the home, the family, and we can redefine the word so that marriage includes two men or two women. What's next, folks? Three men? What's next? Five women? What's next? One man and six women? What's next? What's next? One man and his dog? One woman and her cat? I mean, where are we going to draw the line? I want to tell you, God's already drawn the line. And God said, don't move the boundary. But you see, we have come up with the fact that we don't need God anymore. We can make our own laws and we can make our own rules, and we don't need this Judeo-Christian ethic that everybody's talking about. So we just get rid of God. And this, I don't know if you saw it, but when the legislature down in Annapolis passed that bill, our governor was in the lobby high-fiving all of his radical associates that voted that thing in. I mean, they were down there celebrating, having a party, and high-fiving one another for disowning any connection whatsoever to God and to what's right, and abandoning the principles upon which God created us, and accepting that which God says is an abomination. And now we're seeing state after state give these rights. And folks, all of this goes on, and while it's going on, the darkness just keeps getting darker and darker. I was outside several nights ago, outside just watching it grow dark, just watching things. I just mowed the grass and was watching the birds, and I just sat out there and just watched it get dark. And as I sat there, I noticed that in just a short period of time, you could see clearly. But then in just a short period of time, that darkness fell. And when that darkness fell, man, it was dark. And you could not see what was going on just 20 feet away. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. I just feel like the spiritual darkness has overtaken our land. Now, I'm about to get real philosophical with you here, so I want you to just bear with me for a moment. I know that in just about a minute and a half, there's going to be a lot of people going, wow, our pastor is just so smart. I know you're going to say that. All right, you ready? Here it is. All right, what is darkness? Here's the answer. It's the absence of light. Now, that's deep, isn't it? But that's what darkness is. Darkness is the absence of light. It gets dark at night because the earth turns us away from the light of the sun. And our country has turned away from the light of life. Our country has turned away from the light of the world. And when we did, spiritual darkness has overtaken the world. Now, I got 2 points. I probably won't get to the second one. I didn't get to the second one in the early service, but I got 2 points. Number one, this darkness that we are seeing today is a spiritual darkness. Make no mistake about that. The agenda that we are seeing played out in our country today is a spiritual darkness designed to hide our world from the light of God. Folks, as I said a moment ago in my prayer, this is bigger than Obama. This is bigger than the Democrat Party. This is bigger than the Republican Party. What we are seeing go on is not just here in America, it's around the globe. It is just in the last several years came to our country in a grand way. But this has been going on all around the world. If you go over to China and you start on the coast of China and start working your way west, you will come and see darkness, spiritual darkness. You will see China dark spiritually. You will see now Europe, which was at one time a light for God. You'll see it now dark. You see India dark. You see the Middle East dark. You come across the creek and you come to America, and it used to be a place of light, but not anymore. Why? Well, let me tell you what. Listen, this did not just happen overnight. There has been a plan, and it is the devil's plan. It's not God's plan. God does not want man in the dark. That's why he sent his son, the light of the world. But what has happened is that the devil has been busy because he knows that he hath but a short time. Now, how did this darkness happen to us? Same way it happened in Europe. Same way it happened in China. Same way it happened in India. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil knows his business. And let me tell you how it got here, all right? Back about 150 years ago, over in England, there was in the Bible colleges, in the seminaries, where men of God were trained to go and be pastors and missionaries and evangelists. In the Bible colleges, liberalism crept in. Spiritual liberalism. What is that? Well, it is that thinking that says, I don't know if I believe that. I don't quite believe that. And it bred and started to reproduce. There were two men, well, there's a bunch of them, but two men in particular. One of them's name was Hort, H-O-R-T-E. The other's name was Westcott, and they were friends, and they were liberals. In all of their writing, never one time did either of them give testimony that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one time did either one of them ever say that they were saved and that they were looking forward to the day when they got to heaven. No. All they did was talk about in their writings how they did not believe in the deity of Christ. All they did was try to destroy Bible foundation, the truth. They denied all the fundamentals. They were lost men, in other words. And these two guys got some ancient copies of the Bible, and they translated these ancient copies, these two ancient copies. Now, out of all the manuscripts and or partial manuscripts that we have in this world, 99% of them agree with each other. They're in museums. They're in safes. They're in airtight places because they're old and they're crumbling. But 99% of them agree with each other. And from that 99%, we got the King James Bible. Now, you with me on that? Now, there was 1% that disagreed with the 99. And Hort and Westcott took that 1%, two old manuscripts. They were produced by Constantine back in the 400s. And they did not even agree with each other. One of them was partial. In other words, it had missing pages. And the reason it was missing was because the priest who had it were ripping pages out of it to light fires with. And they took these two manuscripts and blended them together and came up with what they called the critical text of the Bible. Now, that 99% that I mentioned a moment ago from where we got our King James Bible, all of those 4,000 plus agree, and we have a replicate of it in the King James Bible. All right? They all agree with each other. And they took this, these 99 are the majority text, because the majority agrees with each other. And they took this critical text and they presented it to the world. And what did it do? It took the deity of Christ out of the Bible. It took the virgin birth out of the Bible. It demeaned Christ every chance it got. It left verses out. It took other verses and twisted them and turned them and made it say something different than the 99 said. Are you listening? And now over 400 translations, versions of that critical text have been printed, and they have permeated churches all across America. There are preachers that use them instead of this, instead of the pure one. They have taken the Bible and literally changed it. Now, folks, look at me. Things that are different are not the same. Right? Things that are different are not the same. Now, also in that school, now hang on to that. Also in that school was a friend of theirs whose name was Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Origin of Species. And in that book, what he did was come up with the theory of evolution. In other words, he came up with an alternative theory to God creating the world called evolution. He said in the beginning there was this Big Bang. No, read the Bible, the Big Bang comes at the end, not at the beginning. It's just backwards. The exact opposite of what God said. And that should not surprise anybody. Now, you've got this critical text and all these wacky Bibles weakening Christianity, weakening the doctrines, destroying the virgin birth. That's liberalism. Destroying the foundation. That's liberalism. And you've got evolution that is now taught as if it were fact. You have now got evolution in every school. You've got it just, you see it on TV, you see it in the movies. It is just an assumed fact. And anybody who believes in biblical creation is looked at as a Neanderthal. Now, what happened? Well, they brought all that over here. In 1960, what was it, 3, 4, 5, 2? It was in 1960. Madeline O'Hare went to the Supreme Court and sued to get the Bible out of the public school system. And she won. That's worked out well, hadn't it? That was real good, Madeline. You did well there. Now we have metal detectors at our schools. Now we bring in the drug-sniffing dogs and put everybody outside or in the gym on a fire drill, and we got the dogs go through and get all the drugs out of the school. It's working real good. Take the Bible out of the school. When they did that, the Bible's morality and righteousness went with it. And now we are on our second generation of young people who have been raised without the light of God, and now they're running the country. You and I laugh about it, but it's not a laughing matter. But those radical hippies that were burning down the colleges in the 60s and blowing up buildings and killing people in the 60s are now running the show in Washington. You want to know why we're seeing states pass laws to say, oh yeah, it's legal now to smoke marijuana? That's because that radical bunch of hippies in the 60s that were going around smoking marijuana, high all the time, wasted all the time, are now sitting in legislatures and sitting on benches, and they are ruling and making the laws today. And you and I sit here and scratch our heads and say, good grief, what is going on? Now listen very carefully. Education, religious institutions, government, the news media, popular music, Hollywood, all advance this agenda of darkness. They all do. And we are bombarded with it. Now, listen carefully. Darkness brings confusion to any situation. You ever stay at somebody else's house or stay in a motel and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're confused? That's because darkness confuses any situation. You can see where to go in the daylight, but once the darkness comes, you cannot see the way to go. And that is exactly where America is right now. And this lost in the dark concept is the only explanation for America today. It's the only explanation. Can you figure out what's going on? Do you have any answer for why this stuff is happening across our land? Why are we seeing what we're seeing? Hey, I got a question for you. Why is it that now you need a background check to own a gun, but not to be the president of the country? Anybody want to float that out there? I don't understand that. Listen to what Adolf Hitler said in Mein Kampf. He said, make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. Welcome to 2013. We're here, folks. We are being handed one lie after another, and sadly, multitudes believe it. Here's a lie for you. Here's one. You're going to recognize this one, and it's a lie. You ready? Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, I'm so glad y'all told me that, because since 9/11, I was a little confused on that subject. And you know, every terrorist attack that we have had since has all been radical Islam that has done it. So I'm really glad that CNN and MSNBC and ABC and I'm so glad, and even Fox, bringing these people on, and they're saying, oh, no, Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, somebody go ask Daniel Pearl's wife and children how peaceful Islam is. Somebody go ask her that question. Somebody ask our soldiers coming back with their legs blown off just how peaceful that bunch of people are. I was watching the news the other night, Tuesday night, I believe it was, and I got in on, didn't get all of it, but got most of Bill O'Reilly's show, and Bill, it bled from Bill over to Sean, over to Greta, and they were asking the question, they were all asking it, trying to get an answer, person after person after person on there, nobody had an answer, conservative, liberal, nobody. And the question was this: how can President Obama not bring himself to say the words Islamic terrorism or jihad? They were asking, how is it Bill O'Reilly, he was about to blow a gasket on this one because he couldn't get anybody to answer him. And he said, how is it that the majority of Muslims won't stand up to those members of their religion who are radicals and make them stop? Well, I was sitting there going, I know. Call me, Bill, I'll tell you. And he never called. Why? Why? They're not going to do it. Two reasons. Number one, if they did, they get their own head cut off. They get a fatwa put on them. And number two, listen, not all Muslims would slit your throat if given the opportunity. They're not all fundamental terrorist Muslims. But the second reason, make no mistake about it, folks, if they have been to their mosque, if they are true Muslims, and they have read their Quran, and they all say they have, I don't care who they are, if they have read their book and believe Islamic teaching, they have no problem with somebody else slitting or blowing up somebody else. Because their book, the Quran, and their church, Muslim, Islam, they teach that their Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he is going to lead the jihad. And they're going to go around the world. And they're going to conquer the world for Allah. Islam means to submit. And Muslim means I have submitted. And the goal is to get the whole world to submit to Allah. And if you don't submit, their book says that your throat is to be slit. Now, we're being lied to by this president. We're being lied to by his administration and by the media in this matter. Now, again, I say it. Most people who are Muslim because they don't know any better. They were raised that way in an Islamic state, and that's all they've ever known. And just like you believe in God and in Jesus and what the Bible says, these folks believe in Allah and the Quran and what Islam says. And there are some Muslims who are not fundamental Muslims in that if given a chance, they would kill you because you are an American or because you are a Jew. They just would not do that. But folks, understand this. There are millions, not hundreds, not thousands. There are millions of radical, fundamental Muslims, jihadist Muslims, that if given the chance, they would kill you and not blink, not bat an eye. They believe in Islam and they believe in the teachings of Islam. And they believe that Islam, that their Messiah is coming and that he will lead the holy war. And so you and I are sitting here with this knowledge, children of the light. We sit here and we know this. And the reason you know it is because I have studied it for hours on end and I've taught it to you. You're not in darkness on this matter. And so if you're like me, you're sitting there going, wait a minute. These guys were Muslims. And they killed these people. Why can't you admit, Mr. President, that these are radical Muslim terrorists? Why can he not admit this? I think it's because he's one in heart with what they're doing. He is a willing tool of the devil and a key part of Satan's plan to deceive and deepen the spiritual darkness. Now, I don't think he wants to see people killed. Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that I think the man and his administration is a tool that he is in that office to perpetuate the darkness that the devil is propagating, because he knows he has but a short time. He knows the Lord is coming back. Why do we... Oh, scratch your head and wonder. Why do we continue to see our freedom stripped from us in the name of national security? I got an idea. Quit letting them in. Good grief. But yet they just keep letting them come. That thing I wrote to you about in the bulletin, did you read that? He's a member of the royal family in some way. They didn't even vet him. And he's a terrorist. He's got two files on him now. They knew he was a terrorist. And yet they let him in. And then lie about it. And nobody blinks. And we still don't know the truth. Our ambassador gets killed in Benghazi. What in the world is he doing in Benghazi? I'll tell you what he was doing. Running guns for Hillary Clinton. Running guns out of Libya, where they ran guns in to get rid of Gaddafi to the Muslim Brotherhood and to Al-Qaeda. Now they're trying to ship the guns up to Turkey so Turkey can put them into Syria to get rid of Assad so that Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood can take over in Syria. And we are funding this? Does anybody get that? Am I the only one confused here? You say, Pastor, what in the world is going on? Darkness. You got God versus the devil. And this devil is the prince of darkness. There is no other explanation, folks. It is the spiritual darkness that the devil has cast over our land. And make no mistake about it, dear friend. Every practicing Muslim who has ever been to his or her mosque knows Islamic doctrine. What is going to happen in the end times? That's what Islam is all about. They hear it every week. Peaceful? No. You go ask any Islamic woman who says to her husband, oh, I'm not going to wear my hijab today. I bet you 4 days over she's wearing that hijab. Every terrorist attack we've had since 9/11 has been Islamic Muslim extremist attack. Folks, the prince of darkness has cast a sheet over this nation. He has cast a sheet over Congress. He has cast a blanket over the media. He has cast a shadow over the White House. And the reason is because he is setting up this last, one last ditch effort to destroy the Jews, to destroy freedom, to destroy America, put us in bondage, put the world in bondage, and pave a way for himself as the Islamic Messiah to conquer the world and destroy the nation of Israel. You say, well, why does he want to destroy Israel? Because Israel is the chosen people of God. Israel is the apple of his eye. And the devil hates him. Now, if you think that this is progressive liberalism against us, no. This is God versus the devil. There is no other answer, folks. Do you understand what they're doing? What merit? Let me just ask you this. How many hours y'all got? Seriously, let me just ask you this one question. What benefit is it to Barack Obama? And what benefit is it to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the rest of those Democrats down there? What do they get out of all this debt and all this spending? What do they get out of it? What benefit is it to them that our economy has stalled and we're in a recession? We are in a recession and don't even know it. And the reason we don't know it is because the media, who knows it, will not tell us that we're in a recession. We have been in a recession for as long as I can remember. What benefit is it for them to keep us poor? What do they get out of it? So the only answer must be that it's bigger than them. And that it is the devil who has cast that net, that blanket across America, blinding us, because he knows that the only way he's going to get done what he is going to get done is for America to be in the dark. Now, I hang my hat on verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, what's that mean? You know what I think it means? I think it means that before all of this tribulation starts, our Lord is going to come back, and those of us who are redeemed, those of us who are the brethren, those of us that are in the light, we are going to be taken out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we are not going to have to deal with that onslaught from the darkness. So all I can see, folks, all I can see, I mean literally, I have scratched my head trying to figure this out. Why? 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 The devil just took that blanket and threw it right over our eyes as a nation. That's the only explanation. That's the only explanation. You say, well, what do? Well, we are children of the day, so be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, that doesn't mean, well, I sure hope I'm saved. No, you can know you're saved. The hope of salvation is the fact that one day Jesus is going to come back and you're going to be taken to heaven and your salvation is going to be complete. Right now, my soul is saved, but my body is not. My body's getting old. I played 18 holes of golf yesterday in the golf tournament and couldn't get out of bed this morning. Everything hurts. Sore. God saved my soul, but he didn't save my body. I wish he had. But one day he's going to, because I'm going to get to heaven and be just like him. And that's the hope we have. Hey, folks, getting close. You ready to go? It's getting close. It's the only answer. Only answer. We're children of the light.